Monday morning, the 25th of May, 2026. Memorial Day in the States, and a particularly quiet weekend on the lab side. No big announcements, no S1 avalanche, no benchmark blowouts. But the four pieces I came across overnight all sit on the same fault line, where the frontier labs end and the institutions that buy from them begin. That theme runs from intelligence community contracts through agent skill optimization all the way to chip geopolitics. Let me get into them. First up, a story that landed quietly over the weekend but that I think rewrites the map of how the U.S. intelligence community uses frontier models. The information surfaced reporting from the New York Times this Saturday that the White House is closing in on a deal with Anthropic that would clear the National Security Agency and other elements of the USC spy agency community to put Claude against classified work. This is the most concrete acknowledgement to date that the intelligence community, which has historically built its own siloed analytic tools and been reluctant to depend on a commercial general purpose model for anything touching SCI level data, has now decided that staying off the modern post-training frontier costs more than bringing a vendor inside the enclaves. The reporting so far doesn't specify which model tier, whether this is Claude Opus, Sonnet, Haiku, or a fine-tuned variant, and doesn't specify the enclave, whether the model will run inside the AWS top-secret region on-prem at the agencies, or in some air-gapped weight delivery posture. It also doesn't disclose the dollar figure, but the framing is operational rather than experimental, which is the part that matters. What makes this notable is what's happening simultaneously on the Department of Defense side of the building. Earlier this year, the Pentagon designated Anthropic a supply chain risk following a dispute over contract terms, and that designation has not been publicly retracted. The White House is moving forward anyway on a separate authority and a separate acquisition pathway. The message that sends is that the executive branch treats intelligence community access to frontier reasoning models as urgent enough to route around an unresolved DoD vendor disagreement rather than wait for it to settle. For Anthropic, the deal consolidates a posture that's been visible for several quarters now. The lab market's responsible scaling commitments to its alignment-focused researcher base while quietly building one of the most aggressive government sales motions of any frontier lab. Claude Gov, the Anduril Partnership, and now classified intelligence community access. The substantive open question is which use cases the model is actually approved for at the deployment layer. Analytic triage of open source intelligence, structured extraction from collected signals intelligence, code generation for IC tooling, agent-style workflows in analytic enclaves. These are very different risk surfaces. Expect the next round of reporting to focus on classification-aware fine-tuning, on whether the deployment is read-only or includes agentic tool use, and on which oversight body, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the IC Inspector General, or some new construct, signs off on monitoring. Each of those decisions will shape how this generalizes across the rest of the intelligence community. Moving on to our second story and the paper that has the agent engineering community talking this morning. It's called Skill Opt, published on the archive on Friday and quickly rising to the top of the Hugging Face Daily Papers page with 117 upvotes. And it reframes the now ubiquitous agent skills pattern as a text space optimization problem. To set the stage, agent skills are short procedural documents that a frozen agent loads into context to specialize for a domain. Anthropic ships them, Codex ships them, third parties have started building skill marketplaces. But the dominant ways of producing skills, handcrafting them, generating them one shot with a language model, or evolving them through loosely controlled self-revision, all fail to reliably improve over their starting point under feedback. They behave more like prompt engineering than optimization, which is the opposite of how anyone who's done deep learning would expect a system to behave when you have a clear loss signal. Skill Opt's fix is to treat the skill as the external state of a frozen agent and apply the same discipline that makes weight space optimization reproducible. a separate optimizer model turns scored rollouts into bounded add, delete, or replace edits on a single skill document. A candidate edit is accepted only when it strictly improves a held out validation score. The mechanics borrow directly from gradient-based training. A textual learning rate budget caps the magnitude of edits per step. A rejected edit buffer prevents the optimizer from reproposing failed changes, and an epoch-wise slow update keeps the skill from drifting. Critically, none of this adds inference time model calls at deployment. The optimized skill is just a better static text artifact than what humans or one-shot generation produce. Across 6 benchmarks, 7 target models, and 3 execution harnesses, Direct Chat, the Codex Agentic Loop, and Claude Code, Skill Opt is best or tied on all 52 evaluated cells and beats every per-cell competitor. On GPT 5.5, the average no-skill baseline gains 23.5 points in Direct Chat, 24.8 inside the Codex Agentic Loop, and 19.1 inside Claude Code. And this is the part I think actually matters. The transfer experiments hold up. The optimized skill artifacts retain their value when you move them across model scales, between Codex and Claude Code execution environments, and even onto a nearby math benchmark without re-optimizing. That portability is the property that determines whether agent skill optimization is a one-off trick or a real artifact creation paradigm. If skills produced by skill opt style pipelines actually transfer across labs and across model versions, then we're looking at a new layer in the agent stack, one that's optimizer trained the way model weights are, sitting on top of frozen model providers. Third up, the chip geopolitics story. Huawei said on Monday that it is using a new principle, branded the Tao Scaling Law, to narrow its gap with the world's leading semiconductor manufacturers, despite U.S. export controls. The announcement came from He Tingbo, the Huawei board director who heads the company's chip business, in a public talk. There is no technical paper out yet, so the substance of Tao scaling, whether it refers to a process node innovation, a packaging or chiplet strategy, an architecture-side rebalancing of memory and compute, or some hybrid of all of those, is undisclosed in the reporting we have. The information's briefing is paywalled below the LiDi, but the disclosure is significant in context. Huawei's Ascend 910C and the in-development 920 series have been positioned as the domestic alternative to NVIDIA's restricted Hopper and Blackwell parts inside China's largest training labs, with reported deployments at DeepSeek, Tencent, ByteDance, and Baidu. The performance gap to leading-edge nodes, TSMC's N3P and N2 in this period, has been the binding constraint on Chinese frontier training. Previous Huawei communications about closing that gap have leaned on cleverness, 3D stacking, optical interconnect, the superpod cluster topology. The Tao scaling law framing is a sharper, more pointed claim. That's why this disclosure registers as a strategic signal, regardless of what the underlying technique turns out to be. For Western observers, the operative question is timing, relative to the next U.S. export control update and relative to the next round of Ascend Silicon. Watch for follow-up reporting that triangulates Tao scaling against SMISC's recent N+2 and N+3 process disclosures, and against the rumored Huawei domestic high-bandwidth memory partnership. If Tau is a scaling formulation that relaxes the dependence on the most aggressive lithography step, it changes the slope at which sanctions bite. Until we get a technical paper or a product launch that hangs numbers on the claim, treat it as positioning rather than measured capability. But positioning that is itself news, because Huawei's chip business head making it on a public stage is unusual. And for our fourth and final story today, Nathan Labenz's Cognitive Revolution dropped a long-form interview over the weekend with Jeffrey Latish, the executive director of Palisade Research. Latish is one of the more measured public voices in the corner of the AI safety landscape that focuses on capability evaluations of misaligned seeming behavior. The conversation walks through Palisade's recent body of work on shutdown resistance behaviors, on self-replication, and on what Latish frames in the episode as all compute is food for AI systems that learn to acquire and retain resources. The discussion is positioned as a state of the evils briefing, which empirical demonstrations of misalignment have actually replicated, which appear to be artifacts of harnessed choice or prompt formulation, and what the next set of capability evaluations should measure to distinguish model resists shutdown, because the prompt rewards it from model resists shutdown across a wide distribution of prompt formulations and rollouts. If you've been tracking the Palisade work on shutdown resistance and on agentic self-replication that surfaced last year, the new interview is the most current synthesis of where that research has landed. Latish is careful about how much to read into individual results, which I appreciate, and concrete about which experiments Palisade has actually run. It's worth a listen if you're following the evils for misalignment thread. Taken together, the four pieces this morning sketch a particular kind of weak opening picture. The labs and the institutions are merging postures in real time. Anthropic is becoming a defense vendor as much as a research lab. The agent skill layer is becoming an optimizer-trained artifact rather than a hand prompt. Huawei is using public stages to signal that the chip sanctions math may be shifting under everyone's feet, and the safety community is getting more rigorous about what its evals actually measure. None of it is a single-day blockbuster. All of it is the slope of the year's trajectory. There's more in the full digest if you want to dig into the paper releases or the Defense One Pacific sustainment piece I didn't have time to cover this morning. I'll be back tomorrow morning with whatever Tuesday brings. Until then, keep reading papers and hold the people you've lost a little closer today.